We are going to begin a new psalm today. It is Psalm 37, and we will just look into verses 1 to 7 and meditate on those verses. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7. A psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Now David had written about the wicked in Psalm 36, the previous psalm that we had studied. And he will pick up that same theme again in Psalm 39. But David wrote Psalm 37 in his mature years. Psalm 37 verse 25 tells us, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. So Psalm 37 was written when David was much older. And in this psalm, David discusses the age-old problem of why the righteous suffer while the wicked seem to be prospering. But David tells us how we should respond to this problem. In Psalm 37, David speaks about the discipline of solitude, the discipline of solitude, the discipline of quietness, the discipline of being alone with God. Now, man's ultimate hope is an inheritance. And we find this phrase, will inherit the land, will inherit the land. We find that phrase 5 times in the psalm. That's the main issue. Who will inherit the land? Psalm 37 verse 9 says, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 22, for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. So who are those who will enjoy the blessings of the Lord in the promised land? The Bible tells us clearly that those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will inherit the millennial earth, and we shall reign with him on earth for 1,000 years, and we shall partake of the new heaven and the new earth, and we will live with God forever. That is the promise given to us believers in Christ. Eternal life, life with God forever, that has been given to us as a free gift. And this life begins the moment a person is born again. This uncreated eternal life of God is implanted into the person who repents of his sin and turns to Christ by faith. The moment you're born again, you have the gift of eternal life. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So that which is born of the flesh, that is natural birth. But that which is born of the spirit, spiritual birth, that is when we are born again. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So this eternal life, the uncreated life of God that has been implanted to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this eternal life, life with God forever, that is a believer's ultimate hope, and that is his inheritance, being with the Lord forever. When Christ establishes his kingdom here on earth, it will be a reign of peace. Man will be at peace with God, he will be at peace with himself, he will be at peace with his neighbor. Man's ultimate hope is an inheritance. But man's innermost need, while he's on earth now, his innermost need is peace. And the way to peace is the path of meekness. And the way to meekness is the path of quietness, solitude, waiting patiently. Now the door of the psalm hinges on two main verses, verse 7, verse 34. And when you open that door, we see a path of solitude, quietness. Psalm 37, verse 7. The New King James Version says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The New Living Translation, verse 7, it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Verse 34 in the New King James Version says, wait on the Lord and keep His way. The New Living Translation says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Travel steadily along His path. He will honor you, giving you the land. Now David was a man under tremendous pressure. And when you read the book of Psalms, it looks as though all of Satan's darts were aimed at David. But David was God's friend. He knew God intimately and his heart was after God. He was a man of God's own heart. He faced pressure from the outside, persecution, slander, affliction. He was hunted and haunted by King Saul. But David did not give up. He waited patiently on the Lord and God delivered him. He was a man who had learned the discipline of waiting. In Psalm 37 verses 1 to 8, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, instructs us and tells us, don't fret. Don't fret. Learn to wait. Now the Hebrew word there means don't get heated up. Don't get heated up. Learn to wait, and wait we must. Patiently wait. Learn the discipline of solitude. Fretting is reacting. That's what fretting is. We learned in physics when we were in school, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So if you try and apply that same law in life, you will end up a spiritual wreck. Reacting is like letting loose a stressed rubber band. I have a rubber band here in my hands. And very often this is how Christians live. Believers live like this. They live like with, as though their lives are like a stressed rubber band. All the time tense. You slap me, I'll slap you back. You know, many believers are living like this. The world around us is actually provoking us to react like a stressed rubber band. But we must learn how to act positively, because reaction is negative. But action is positive. David says, don't react. Stop reacting. Don't fret. Why? Because when you fret, that leads to evil. Psalm 37 verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You become harmful. And that's evil. And that's how the wicked live. They're always reacting. The wicked are always reacting. Therefore, the wicked have no peace. Isaiah 48 verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Now, how do the wicked react? Number one, they are plotting against the righteous. In other words, the wicked devise plans to destroy the righteous. Psalm 37 verse 12, and I read from the New King James Version here. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The New Living Translation says, the wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. So they are plotting. They are scheming. They scheme against the godly. Verse 7 talks about the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Psalm 37 verse 7, the New King James Version. Number 2, they are spying. They are spying. Psalm 37 verse 32. Those who are evil spy on the godly, waiting for an excuse to kill them. Number 3, they are lying. They don't repay their debts. They take from the righteous and they don't return. Dishonesty marks their ways. Psalm 37 verse 21. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Number 4, they use brute force. They use brute force against the poor to win, to gain advantage. they use brute force against the poor. Psalm 37 verse 14. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. So they are plotting. They are scheming. They are spying. They are lying. And when nothing else works, they use brute force against the poor and those who do right. Now the sad part of all of this is that they seem to be flourishing. Verse 7 says, don't worry about evil people who prosper. So they are prospering, they are flourishing. You see, they seem to be prospering all the time. They seem to be getting away with everything that they do. They seem to be succeeding, prospering. Verse 35 says, they are flourishing. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Psalm 37 verse 35. Verse 16 says, they are wealthy, the richest of many wicked. Psalm 37 verse 16. So they are wealthy. So what is a child of God called to do? How do we respond correctly under such pressure? Because the world around us is getting increasingly more and more wicked, and the pressure for mere existence and survival is increasing day by day. So how are we to respond? The first lesson that we need to learn is, never compare yourself with others, especially the wicked. Stop comparing. Why? Because this leads only to fretting. Don't measure yourself against someone else. Let us learn to look beyond and see the destiny of the wicked. Psalm 37 verse 2. For like grass they soon fade away, like springtime flowers they soon wither. The wicked may look like native green trees for the moment, but the actual truth is that they are only like grass. Psalm 37 verse 10. In a little while the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. They are like grass, not like the banyan tree. I am reminded of the banyan tree. The banyan tree is in Tamil Nadu. Fascinating trees. The aerial roots of the banyan tree hang down from the branches, and then later they become pillars that cause the tree to expand. I remember being inspired by the Tarzan comics that I used to read when I was a kid, and then hanging on those roots and swinging with my imagination just running wild. Banyan trees have also proven to be safe shelters from cyclones, by the way. Shelters from the cyclones. But the wicked, they are like grass. They are not like the banyan tree. They are like grass. A life that is confined to outward prosperity, seeking only material gain, rejecting the Lord, that is a life that is ripe for judgment. And such a life is like green grass that withers away in the summer heat. Not only should we look beyond and see the destiny of the wicked, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to the Lord. We need to get our eyes straight. Change your focus of attention from the prosperity of the wicked and learn to look to the Lord Himself. In other words, get yourself preoccupied with the Lord. Get yourself preoccupied with the Lord. Otherwise, you're in great danger. You will definitely fret. I had a classmate and a roommate of mine, and some of you would have already seen him. He has come on our Zoom meetings. His name was Francis. And Francis used to study really hard. And he used to get so upset because he would go to the exam for the exams, and all the Bihari classmates, all our classmates used to copy. But of course, Francis would never copy. We would never copy. So he would come back to the hostel room and he would start crying. He would start weeping. He said, I just don't know what to do, Elias. I studied so hard. The question paper is tough. But look at these Bihari fellows. They are copying in the exams. You see, the focus was instead of getting preoccupied with God. So I used to keep telling him, Francis, what does the Lord say? What does the Bible say? Get yourself preoccupied with the Lord. Otherwise, you will begin to fret. When you see all the evil around you and you put your focus there, you will begin to fret. So the question now is, how are we to get preoccupied with God? How does that happen? There are four phrases in verses 3 to 7 that deserve our attention. Number one, make God your hope. To get preoccupied with God, number one, you must make God your hope. Psalm 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Make God your hope and keep doing your duty faithfully as unto the Lord. We are not told to trust in the Lord and do whatever we feel like doing. No. We are called to trust in the Lord and do good. Do good in obedience, and the promise is that you will enjoy God's security. In the Living Bible, in verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord instead, be kind and good to others, then you will live safely here in the land and prosper, feeding in safety. Psalm 37 verse 3, the Living Bible. The sheep need to trust the shepherd. Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And when you learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, you will experience God's faithfulness. When you are preoccupied with God, you will learn to experience His voice, like the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and you will experience God's faithfulness. That is long-term security. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. Then verses 15 to 16. I myself will tend my sheep and cause them to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. In verses 23 and 24, and I will set one shepherd over them, even my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. So if you make the Lord your hope, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, make Him your hope and trust in Him and do good, you will experience God's faithfulness. You will be led by God to green pastures. You will be led to still waters. You will be the ultimate winner, for you have made God your hope, and He is the one who holds the keys. Number two. Number one, make God your hope. Number two, make God your delight. Psalm 37 verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. In other words, redirect your emotions to the Lord. What were Paul and Silas doing in prison? My Bible says they were praying and singing. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says they were praying and singing in Acts chapter 16 verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. In the middle of the most difficult circumstances, verse 23 tells us they were severely flogged. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Their feet were fastened in stocks. Verse 24, so he took no chances but put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. But you can never stop people who take delight in the Lord. Their emotions were not directed by their circumstances. They did not crib and whine in pain. My Bible says around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They delighted in the Lord, and the Lord delighted in them. And my imagination goes this way again. Paul was singing the melody and Silas was singing the harmony, like the children sing. But they had no guitars and no keyboard in the prison. But when they sang, God Almighty began to sing. And I believe when God Almighty begins to sing, He sings with a bass voice. And verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Acts chapter 16 verses 28 to 34. Acts 16, 28 to 34. But Paul shouted to him, don't do it. We are all here. Trembling with fear, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with your entire household." Then they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Then they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. That same hour the jailer washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Then he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. What a conversion experience. Friends, the greatest message that you can preach is when you delight yourself in the Lord. The greatest message that you can preach is when you delight yourself in the Lord. The promise in Psalm 37 verse 4 is that he will give you the desires of your heart. He does not promise to gratify all the appetites of your body, no. But he promises to grant you the desires of your heart. The cravings of your soul shall be satisfied because your desires have become his desires. If you desire to know Christ, to love Christ, to live in Christ, to obey Christ, let Christ live in you. You will be pleased in Christ and he will be pleased with you. He'll delight in you. Number three, make God your guide. Make God your guide. Psalm 37 verse 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Now the Hebrew meaning of that word commit is to roll. Roll your way upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Recline each care of your load on Christ. The burden of your future. Maybe some of you are worrying about that. The burden of your career. The burdens you find in your workplace. The pressures and the targets that are thrust on you. The problems that you have in your family. The difficulties that you have in your relationships. The anxiety that is in your heart. Yesterday I heard that the number of people who have actually moved from middle class income in India to poverty is 35 million. Just imagine, 35 million people have moved from middle class income group to poverty. Forced into poverty because of this situation, the corona in India. So look at the anxiety. Imagine the anxiety that they're going through. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we can tell him everything. Don't hide anything from him. Tell him all that is burdening your heart. Tell it to him as it is. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. He cares about what happens to you. In prayer, spread out your case before the Lord. And all your anxieties, lay it before him. Roll it out before him and then trust him. You see, Psalm 37 verse 5 says, trust him and he will help you. Trust him to bring out the best. Lean on him, rely on him, and be confident that he has the best in store for you. He desires the highest best for you. So learn to say this: God loves me and he desires his highest best for me. He will give me his best for his glory. So he will take away your fears and your anxieties regarding the future, and he will bring about his purposes for your life. Trusting in God means believing in his promises. God's promises are for his obedient children. God's promises are for his obedient children. Men of the world will let you down. Yes, but Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Remember that chorus? Men of the world gonna let you down, but Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Psalm 37 verse 6. That verse promises us that God will prove your honesty and integrity when you make him your guide. God will make it known that you are an honest man. God will do that. He'll take care of your reputation. Psalm 37 verse 6. He will make your innocence as clear as the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. So as you keep a good and clear conscience, committing your ways to the Lord, rolling out all of your care to Him. He will take care of your good name. He cares for your reputation. And He will establish your reputation. Number 4. Make God your king. Psalm 37 verse 7. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Be still. Be silent before His throne. You are His love slave. Your eyes are fixed on Him to take His orders. Once you have committed your ways to Him, you need to leave things in His hands and just obey His orders. I have a cousin of mine, her name is Winnie, and she used to have a dog named Akiro. Now, Akiro was such a faithful dog. He would wait patiently for Winnie's orders. And his eyes were always toward Winnie. She just has to look at him. He knows he has to go and bring the newspaper. So he'll bring the newspaper and put it at her feet. And then when she's sitting and resting, he is right next to her at her feet. And one eye will always be toward her, waiting for orders. Wait patiently for the Lord to act. Don't jump ahead of Him. Wait patiently for His orders. Only move when He signals you to move. I wish we were like Akiro when it comes to listening to the Lord. It is the stillness of waiting and watching that the psalmist talks about. Not a carefree, relaxed attitude, but an attitude of trust, resting, and in peace in the Lord. In stillness, we learn to cooperate with God and we work with God. And this, I believe, is absolutely essential in evangelism also, in our presenting the gospel to people. We must be careful that our evangelism doesn't become a mechanized procedure. And sad, that has happened in the past. Evangelism shouldn't end up as a programmed procedure. Listen carefully. Our villages and our cities and our states and our nation is not going to be evangelized by programs. But they are going to be evangelized when believers in Christ learn to cooperate with Jesus. When believers in Christ learn to walk with Jesus. When believers in Christ have their eyes fixed on Jesus. And they work with Him and depend on Him and they are unctioned by Him and they obey His orders. Our nation is going to be evangelized by the Holy Spirit. And we must learn to cooperate with Him. When we learn the discipline of solitude to wait upon the Lord, then we can begin to evangelize the nation. We must learn to act when He acts. We must learn to speak when He speaks. So solitude is not loneliness, by the way. Solitude is inner fullness. Because you're waiting on the Lord. Look at Jesus. How He inaugurated His ministry. He spent 40 days alone in the desert. In the wilderness. And that's our text for this coming Sunday morning service. Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 11. And then before He chose the 12 disciples, Jesus spent the entire night alone in the desert hills. Luke chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. One day soon afterward, Jesus went to a mountain to pray. And He prayed to God all night. At daybreak, He called together all of His disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. When He received the news of the death of John the Baptist, what did He do? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 verse 13, when Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. After the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, Jesus went up into the hills by Himself to pray. Matthew chapter 14 verse 23. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. After a long night of work, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the next morning He was up long before daybreak and went out alone into the wilderness to pray. When the 12 returned from a preaching and healing mission, Jesus instructed them, Mark chapter 6 verse 31. And He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Following the healing of a leper, Jesus withdrew to the wilderness and he prayed. Luke chapter 5 verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. With three disciples, he went up a lonely mountain, which became the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. Before going to Calvary, he sought the solitude of Gethsemane. Before Calvary, the solitude of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26 verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus brought them to an olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go ahead to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he began to be filled with anguish and deep distress. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He went on a little further and fell face down on the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak. Again, he left them and prayed. My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away until I drink it, your will be done. He returned to them again and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went back to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, still sleeping? Still resting? Look, the time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up! Let's be going. See, my betrayer is here. Jesus was in perfect tune to the Father's voice and the Father's will. He even challenged the unbelieving Jews in John chapter 10 verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. He spoke what the Father spoke. He did what his Father did. He knew the Father so well because he took time to be with him in solitude, waiting upon him. Now if Jesus did that, how much more do we need to do so? If the very Son of God needed to spend time with the Father in solitude, how much more do you and I need to? Learn to be still before his throne. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. Learn to look to the Lord. Learn to look beyond the situation and circumstances and get yourself preoccupied with the Lord by making God your hope, making God your delight, making God your guide, and making God your king. Martin Luther translated Psalm 37 verse 7, be still to God and let him hold thee. Be still to God and let him hold thee. Wait for the Lord and rest in the Lord. He is working in you. He is working on you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid. So he is working in you. He is working on you. He is working for you. So commit, trust, and wait. And you will see how he brings things to pass. Shall we pray?